Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Olaf to show how vast his power was. So I guess in this world, the Xavier Leggett world, he'd have a sausage with squirrel and raccoon and all that.
Hey, rabbit.
I don't know how that would impress me.
Well, remember he was in Germany when the Panthers went out to Germany and he was like, he was eating the sausages out there and the lady's like, yeah, this ain't got that taste, man. You need a little hot sauce on them. But in Xavier Leggett's axe, you know.
I love
that guy. I wish he would have caught that pass against Philadelphia. It would have beat the Eagles, man. Oh, man. Wet is chiming in. Our boy Wet, as we just go crazy here. His grandmother, shout out to his grandma, rest in peace. Love grandma. She was great. She asked him when he was young, because he was from Mississippi. She asked him if he wanted to try the raccoon or squirrel. He was like, yeah, I'm good off of it. She was like, oh, you just a damn city boy.
Yep.
Yep.
I've eaten a lot of raccoons.
Hey, I think there was a raccoon on the screen just now. You see that? I think there was a raccoon on the screen. Oh, man. Anyway, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HG1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. I feel like this next call is going to be an expert on raccoon and rabbit. I feel like he is. I'm waiting for Lubman in the conversation with him. Antoine right. in Nashville. Let's get him on. Step right up. Antoine in Nashville, what's happening?
What's going on, guys? Y'all doing all right?
Yeah, man, I'm doing
never great.
Never better.
Good. Hey, so what I wanted to mention, man, is that, you know, for the Warriors' next move, I know it's kind of rough right now. You know, as long as we can at least stay a couple games above 500, I think we'll be okay. I called in before and I had mentioned that we need to get Schroeder and Miles Turner. We got Schroeder. I think that'll definitely take some stuff off of Bajinski. But if we can at least target maybe Miles Turner or maybe even Vucevic as like a backup plan, I think that'll really open our offense up, man. We're looking at trying to, you know, acquire maybe Jimmy Butler or some, you know, crazy LaVine trade, or even if, you know, we're talking about trading Kuminga, if we can at least go ahead and get a center. Like, I think Anthony Slater had mentioned before that they wanted to take Draymond out of that starting lineup. If we can actually get a starting center, we can actually take a lot of pressure off Draymond Green, and then we don't have to necessarily have so much pressure on trying to see if we want to trade Kuminga. We can let's see how that affects our offense, and then from there, in the offseason, if we want to go get Jimmy Butler, he'll be a free agent most likely anyway. Yeah. Then we could try to trade or get rid of Kuminga or something at that time. But let's try to boost our roster in another way.
Real quick, Antoine, that's a very measured and thoughtful call. But I got to ask you, since you are in Nashville, Tennessee, do you guys have a drone problem? And do you guys eat that raccoon out there in Nashville, Tennessee?
Okay, So I'm a country boy, die hard. So I eat all the pig feet, chitlins, and all that.
The big red bucket with the chitlins.
I'm a country boy. Yes, sir. But no drone problems, though. We haven't had any drone problems out here in Nashville.
So you're about that squirrel, raccoon, chitlin, pig feet, all that stuff.
Yes, sir. Deep barbecue as well, man. You know, we're down in the South. You know how it is.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. So my grandma, I don't know. Have you ever had chitlins, Shasky?
No.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. I hope to never have chitlins again, but...
Why? Are they bad?
Tripe and chitlins. Antoine, you still on the line?
I'm well
aware. Can you explain to my guy...
Yes, sir.
Can you explain to Shasky what chitlins are?
Chitlins are basically pig intestines. They're cleaned out pig intestines. Now, here's the thing. If you take the membrane off of them, they don't smell as bad. I've had them grilled. I've had them boiled. I've had them all kind of ways, seared. It just depends on how you cook them. You know, some people can't really get past them being intestines, but in my personal opinion, they're really, really good. You eat them every blue moon, not on a normal basis, because it's not good for your health. But,
the late, great Lorene William Tyndall, every now and then, you see that red bucket, you're like, what the hell is that smell? Like, oh, we're having chitlins for dinner. And when I found out what chitlins were, I don't think we've eaten chitlins since. So my mom definitely hasn't come through with them. And you would put hot sauce on them? Yeah, they're disgusting. Ugh. So you want to talk about the most disgusting thing I've ever eaten? Probably chitlins.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
Yeah,
quote from Steve Kerr yesterday regarding Pajemski and the ball handling. And it was such a head scratcher for me because I've been listening to Steve Kerr talk about Brandon Pajemski. And I take a lot of what Steve Kerr says at face value. You know, I have a rule of thumb. Most people at a podium are lying to you, whether it's a politician, a government official, whether it's somebody from the Board of Education or sports team. If you're at a podium, I just assume that you're telling a tall tale, right? Steve Kerr's a guy I take at face value. And for the longest time, he was talking about Pajemski as a ball handler. And now there's been like a change of course. And you're allowed to flip your opinion, but it surprised me to hear him come out and be so adamant that Pajemski is now not a ball handler.
Well, he handles the ball too much. And that's been a thing with the Warriors and their coaching staff, trying to get Pajemski to not dribble so much. You know, we all talk about .5 basketball, right, around here. You want to get the ball and you want that baby to hop. And so many times, and we saw that in instances in the Dallas Mavericks games where he's dribbling in no man's land. Dribble, 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 dribble. And it's like, no, we got to pass, dribble, dribble, pass. As Steph Curry would explain at one of his summer camps, it's like a grenade in your head. You got to get rid of that thing. What are you doing here? We got to go. So here's what Steve Kerr said on how the Schroeder acquisition can help Pods.
I actually think this will really help Brandon. You know, a year ago, he played most of his minutes, like 90%, next to either Chris Paul or Steph Curry. So he was really playing the two. And what we like about Brandon is his playmaking. But this year, he's been playing mostly as the one, and that's a different role entirely. And so I think this will be good for him. He's really good on the backside of a play. When somebody else creates an advantage and then he gets the ball, he's great at creating the next advantage or you know, the next pass that's there. And that's where he thrived last year. And I'm hopeful that getting him back into that role will help him get going.
So what have you asked of Pod so far this season, Steve?
Well, he came to us last year as a combo guard and, you know, he played next to two Hall of Fame point guards in Chris and Steph. And then to make him the lead ball handler behind Steph this year on a team that isn't like really a modern NBA spacing team where you got four or five out, we put him in some positions where, you know, he's trying to make plays. There's not a ton of spacing. It wasn't easy on him, and that was a role that was new for him anyway. So I think this will make the game a little easier for him. I think, you know, anytime you get a new player, you kind of have to gauge what it does with everybody else's role. And so this will create some opportunity. Obviously, Dennis will also take up some minutes, and there could be some opportunities taken away as well. But we are just going to do whatever it takes to win. And that's the plan. And, you know, we'll see how it shakes out.
So Schroeder's going to finish alongside Stephen Curry. They're going to take something off of Brandon Pajemski's plate. He'll be playing with the second unit, so get the ball to Buddy, get the ball to JK, because we'll get to JK and Draymond and his dilemma at the four. Sounds like Draymond will be back in the starting lineup sooner rather than later. Like, just listening to Draymond Sunday night about setting a tone against the Dallas Mavericks and their inability to set a tone. If you want to set a tone defensively, you would think that you want Draymond Green out there. Now, Monty Poole asked Steve Kerr, hey, how are you going to set the tone without Draymond Green? And Steve Kerr said, oh, that's a really great question. So there's something there with J.K. and Draymond Green, but let's focus on Pods. I think this is good for Pods. This is good. Less minutes, watch a little bit, and just take a deep breath because there's been a lot on his plate. There's been a lot this offseason, and, you know, it's unfortunate that he's become the whipping boy around these parts when it comes to the fan base. Pods this, Pods that. Pods played 15 minutes on Sunday, and people are still ready to shoot him down and sit him down in Santa Cruz, but the shooter move can't help. How do you adjust to it? You can do like Jordan Poole did his second year, go down to the G League, get your game right, come back as a pro, and be a baller. I don't know if Podziemski's going to do that. I don't know if they're going to send Podziemski down to the G League or whatnot to work out some things. But he can learn from Schroeder on how to play basketball, just sit back and watch.
We used to say the word tweener a lot. You know, they're calling him a combo guard. And I know to a degree, Steph still is a combo guard. I don't think he's a two at all. I don't think he's an off-ball guard. I don't think he defends that way. I don't think he's a catch and shoot, at least currently.
Who's that, Steph?
Pods. He's not a catch-and-shoot guy.
No, he's not.
I keep coming back to, like, just think of the summer. This is a guy who played point guard on the USA, what is it, under-21
team? Select team. Mr. Cooper Flag.
Everybody was hype, and not just the Warriors. I'm talking about everybody, like, nationally was hyping him up, and he's taking this leap, and, like, defensively has not even come close to that. And he takes charges, but there's more to being a great defender than taking charges. There's help defense. There's on-ball defense. There's, you know, rotations. He's a rebounder. He's definitely a good rebounder. I want to make sure that I say that because he is a great rebounder, and he's tremendous when it comes to loose balls. But I think that he has some limitations defensively. And then offensively, I just don't view him as a backup, too. I don't know where he fits into this.
He's a point guard. He should be a point guard.
Yeah, but when you're telling me that he can't initiate offense, he needs to be the secondary.
Yeah.
Like, he needs to be on the back. Like, something's up, man. I don't know. This is not good.
I think they wanted his shot to come along here. The jumper's not there right now. Before we hit the break, I want to get to our boy J-Dub. He has some Schroeder thoughts as well. But I know Jordan, he's from the Deep South. He's from Georgia. And we're texting yesterday about Kirk Cousins. And no, I don't want Kirk Cousins, Jordan. But you know about that raccoon? You know about those chitlins, man? I know you do.
Listen, I try to stay as far away from him as possible. My mom is from Brunswick, so that's super South Georgia, and she talks about it all the time. I said, no, I'm good. I'm good. Y'all, you can have that. We moved up, right? It's like the Jeffersons, moving on up.
Right? I'm with you, man. No chitlins in my life no more, that's for sure. Drone problem exactly. In the Ute. Do we have a drone problem in the Ute?
Oh, man, a drone problem? I try to stay as far away from that. I don't know about drone problems, but I do say this, though, because I know, obviously, you know, y'all talking about the Warriors. This whole Dennis Schroeder thing, this is pretty interesting because, you know, obviously, like, growing up in Atlanta, I remember Dennis when he first got into the league, right, because he came with the Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing for me I think that's going to be interesting because he is a, from what I remember, He's got a big ego about himself, which is fine. I think as a high level athlete, you're kind of supposed to. So there are going to be moments though where I think you know he's going to want to have the ball down the stretch. He's going to want to be the big player down those moments. And so, how is that going to gel? Right, like that's kind of the big question I have with him right now. Is it going to be like, hey, are you going to be willing to, you know, give it up and go with the Warriors offense, or are you going to try to make things happen yourself?
It's a great question, Jordan. It's a great question. And whether or not, because I saw this text here, and it's kind of crossed my mind a little bit. 415, I hope we're not acquiring Dennis just to move him for the supposed star we're looking for. If it doesn't work, if it doesn't fit, that is the beauty of this trade, is that you do, and I'm not even talking about trade. I want to see how this works out. But if it doesn't work out, and we get closer and closer to that deadline, it is another asset to flip. If you don't think this fit is going to happen, so if it's going to work out with this team. So I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued tomorrow night in Memphis to see how this works out.
I'm assuming that the Warriors don't make moves to preemptively think of like, oh, worst case scenario, we can move him again. I think they want this to work, and I think this is a great move.
But
I
being a proactive team, though, don't you think that, hey, if it doesn't work, we still have time?
I think it's more a byproduct of just how the CBA is. There are some loopholes, and this was an unintended consequence. I don't know if it's that diabolical.
Yeah, no, I think you put all options on the table. You got a player here who sought after, but we'll talk more about this on the other side with Eddie Johnson. Our main man Eddie Johnson is going to join us on the River Islands guest line, and that will be sponsored by Lucky California.
He was a revelation, to be quite honest. I mean, he was one of the all rookie team top five in the league. He started a whole bunch of games for us. Steve had troubles getting him off the floor. I mean, he had to have him on the floor. He was so good. He does so many things well. He's ultra confident. He's got an NBA body. He can get wherever he wants. He obviously can shoot threes. He can drive. He can pass. I mean, what can he do? We're really excited. We think we've got a future all-star.
Bay Area, it's Brandon Pajemski. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonta Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game. You better hit those brakes, Bonta.
Man, I struggle with that, Pods. I struggle hitting the brakes. I mean, story of my life, right? But Pods, he's struggling this season. There's no doubt about it. And he will tell you that. He's struggling. I think he's been pressing a little bit because I still think there's a player there. The law of averages should come back. But right now, he only played 15 minutes and 50 seconds Sunday night against the Dallas Mavericks, so the minutes have been down a bit. 24.5 minutes on the season. His three-point percentage is up 25%, but he's shooting 37.5% from the floor. The turnovers, the ball handling, it's been a problem. There's no doubt about it. There's been a problem with Brandon Pajemski, so he's struggling a little bit here for the Golden State Warriors. In his second season, he was a first-team all-rookie team member, and now Dennis Schroeder's in town. He is in town to help facilitate and help alleviate some of the poor shooting woes the Warriors have had right now.
We just assume that development is like a rocket ship. You just start here and boom, you go all the way up to the moon, and now you're a star. That's just not how it is. And, you know, I'm sure Joe Lacob himself, but just everyone would have him probably not say what he had said during the summer.
No doubt.
Putting a little too much
now,
on it.
Now is that summer league, of course.
Yeah, and maybe they felt that way. Maybe they all did. I don't know. But I'm sure it was a little heavy, you know, with the sauce. And I just look at it this way. My pushback was initially, you know how difficult it is to just be a one-time All-Star? De'Aaron Fox is a great player. He's a freaking great player. We've played him how many times, Warrior fans? 20? 30? All right? He's a one-time All-Star.
Yep.
It's just very difficult to be an All-Star, period.
Yep.
So when you say those things and people cling to them or they start believing them or whatever, it's tough to replicate the year you had before. Eric Paschal, and I don't think Pajemski is him, but Eric Paschal had a great rookie year. And then we realized that was like fool's gold.
Yeah.
None of the stuff he was doing was sustainable to winning. And he got the usage that he would never have gotten on a team with Steph Curry.
Yep.
And so things just change. We saw with Joe Smith. Joe Smith had a great rookie year and then really kind of struggled to replicate that.
He did play 16 years, Joe Smith, which surprised the hell out of me. But I hear what you said about Joe. Yeah,
that was his
high water mark in the class with Rasheed Wallace, Jerry Stackhouse.
17 a game.
Yeah, Jerry Stackhouse, Rasheed Wallace, Antonio McDyess. That was a loaded draft class. Kevin Garnett and Joe Smith just never. That may have been the peak of his career. So we'll see what happens with Pods. But I think taking a step back here for Dennis Schroeder will be a good thing long term for Pods. Or, you know, the Warriors have options here. They definitely have options to go to Cam and Antioch. Hopefully Cam and Antioch is not having a conversation again. What up, Cam?
Good morning, guys. I'm going to chill out today. I'm going to chill out today, man. It's all good.
Hey, I got to find out, though. You know what, Cam? I got to find out. What was going on? What was going on in the car the other day? Hey, it happens to the best of us. First of all, before we get into your call, because I know you want to talk some Warriors here. First, do we have a drone problem in Antioch?
A drone?
Yeah, drones. I guess a drone.
I live in the ghetto part in Antioch. I don't see no drones over here.
No drones messing with y'all. What about raccoons? Yeah, you ever eat raccoon before?
I'm from San Francisco, bro. Come on now. Yeah. Never.
All right. I'm just making sure. I'm just asking. All right, let's get to the Warriors. I love the fact that he's like, I'm in the Antioch. Oh, man, ain't no drones coming over, flying over there. They know better.
I would never eat a McLaren Park raccoon.
Cam, what you got on the Warriors?
I think they should send Pop to the G League. If Moody or Kuminga got his numbers, they would have been benched. I don't know what Pod's got on Kerr, but he played him way too many minutes. He did his thing last year. I feel me. He did cool when he was in there, but he gets too much leeway. And we got to talk about Kerr. It's crazy. I don't hear nobody in the media really criticize Kerr. He even talked about the refs that went crazy on him. No fine. When does that ever happen? The coaches get fined all the time. He's talking about we don't have the offense in the closing games. That's because he's running this motion offense. Nobody's in rhythm. When Curry gets to do the pick and roll, he wants to run the pick and roll for Schroeder, but not Curry. I think he hates Curry. I really think he do. Because the way he be treating Curry, taking him out when he get hot, don't put him back in the game when it's – he trying to make Curry save us when he could just put him in a few minutes earlier, and you could sit Curry. We probably ain't gonna sit him, but you could really close the game if you bring Curry in a few more minutes. Yeah, we don't want to keep the burden on Curry, but I think the motion offense makes him run way more toll on his body than pick and rolls. They clawing at him, scratching him while he's running. Curry uses him as a decoy. That's why Curry was not getting off in those first few games of the Olympics. But when Curry got the ball, got on ball, he went crazy.
Cam, you sound like a good basketball fan. Can we acknowledge this? Curry himself has said that he doesn't love to just bring the ball up the court, and he feels he's more of a threat when he doesn't have the rock, and he doesn't have to exert all of that energy just getting into the front court with the ball. And it's a little more difficult when you have five guys staring at you in a pick-and-roll situation as opposed to someone else has the ball and you're able to play more three-on-four, you know, three-on-twos and things like that. Like, it's more stylistically.
Yeah, the motion offense could work, but Kurt goes with these tiny lineups. Like, that was cool when we was winning championships, but the league has caught on to that. Like, at least, why is Anderson getting DMPs when he plays more than, I think, 15 minutes? We like 10 and 2.
I like
but when it. He doesn't, we need to be big. Draymond needs to stay at the four, and we need a real center at all times. They can keep Anderson at the four coming off the bench. Like, Kirk got to switch this up.
Yeah, you know, and I think he will tinker with this roster, and he will tinker. And maybe that's something happening with Dennis Schroeder, who is a pick-and-roll guy. You can run a lot of pick-and-rolls. And the great thing about Schroeder's pick-and-rolls is, you know, Chris Paul Monty was explaining this yesterday on Warriors Now on NBC Sports Bay Area, but and he made a good point. Chris Paul, when he ran a pick-and-roll, he would kind of stop around the mid-range or the three-point line and stay outside. Dennis Schroeder will attack the basket. He will try to finish at the rim. So his pick-and-rolls are deadly. If he slip up a little bit and you want to play drop-dead coverage, he'll fly right by you. So I like this move. So I do think Steve Kerr, when it comes to Kyle Anderson, is the fit there with Kyle Anderson. Steve Kerr wants to get the tempo up. Is Anderson capable of that? Or do we need to tinker with the style of play and tinker with it to say, you know what, let's slow it down a little bit to make sure if Slobo fits. Because Slobo didn't play the other night against Dallas. He didn't play 1 second.
It's a matchup you would think he would have a little more effect in a game in terms of like their pacing, because they do like to slow it up at times and be more methodical.
The Mavericks, that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, they play a slowdown. They only took 87 field goal attempts. A lot of Luka, a lot of Kyrie.
I don't know. But then I guess my question is like, they have specific long personnel that can make it difficult for him as well.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of their defensive things that they can throw at you. I don't know. I feel like if you're playing Kyle Anderson at the four, well, then that's coming at the expense of Kuminga's minutes off the bench, and you need that scoring off the bench. I like Anderson at the five. But
can he play to five?
That's the problem.
I don't know if you can play to five. And if you do play Anderson, you got to make sure you got shooting around you. What does the lineup look like? What if he's playing with GP2?
Moody's absence is hurting.
Yeah, Moody's absence is hurting. But would you have GP2 or you have Looney out there or TJD? Where's the shooting going to come from? Now your spacing is compromised. So I don't know about the fit with Kyle Anderson right now. By the way, this is Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And don't forget the Doobie Awards this Friday. Take the day off. Oh, we got Eddie? We're efforting Eddie Johnson. Okay, I see the guys working back there. All right. Steve Kerr on if Curry is still good enough to be a number one on a title team.
I think the answer to that is yes, it's realistic. This is a once-in-a-generation player and athlete. He's superbly conditioned. We just watched him 2.5 years ago carry us to the title. This is Steph Curry's team, and he's still an all-star. You saw him in the Olympics this past year. It's our job to put him in a position where we're in the playoffs, and we give him a chance with the best group around him, the best schemes, the best coaching, the best training staff, and that's the focus. And Warriors fans know really well that guys like Steph don't come around very often. You know, we went 40 years between titles from 75 to 15. So we have Steph. He's still playing at an elite level. We have to give him every resource to try to take us home again, because we've watched him do it 4 times. So that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, I would say to Steve, and this is going to sound like I'm hating on Steph. Yeah, I don't think you can. Because I don't think your number two is strong enough alongside of him for him to be your number one. You know, when I look at the 2022 team, it's more of an outlier than I want to give it credit for, but it is. Like, to do what they did and the path that they went through, I don't think moving forward the path is that easy. Not that it was some, like, you know, you're just waltzing into the championship. But like, Phoenix was the best team in the league that year, and they had in terms of record in the West, and they had a down, you know, playoff, and they got bounced. You got a little fortunate there. I think a matchup against Phoenix would have looked different than the matchup against Dallas in the Western Conference Finals. You know, they were very Luka heavy, and we kind of snuffed that out. I'm not saying they wouldn't have won the championship. I'm just saying, like, I think it was a little more difficult. And 2.5 years is a long time. Like, and I'm not trying to sound like Curry can't, you know, grab it. He needs a...
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Another running mate who is stronger at the two in terms of the second best player on the team than what they had that year. I don't think that roster that year in this season can win a championship.
Yeah, this roster right now is not a championship roster. I think we could acknowledge that.
But if I took that roster from 2022 and put it into this year, I don't think that's winning a championship either.
It's maybe. The game's evolving. The game is evolving. But for that year, and I don't like doing those things. It's like, oh, well, this team could win it this year, and that team could win it because they're older, right? But I don't know. Would they beat Phoenix? I think they would have beat Phoenix in 6 or 7. That's just my personal opinion.
Okay. But that could have took a chunk out of them.
But you know what? Phoenix didn't handle their business.
No doubt.
So you know what? A lot of people told me Memphis was going to beat the Warriors in that 7-game series, and they didn't. Ja got hurt in Game 4, or late Game 3, but the Warriors were taking a 2-1 lead, and Memphis wasn't ready for that. It just wasn't. It wasn't. The Warriors have won game one in Memphis. I think the Warriors are going to win that series regardless whether Ja played or not. The Warriors beat the Nuggets, and I know Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. are out, but they would have been a different seed at that point. Nobody believed in the Denver Nuggets anyway at that point. But the Warriors were great that year. They started off 18-2.
I don't want to make it sound like I'm diminishing. So
in terms of Curry being the number one, yeah, I mean, can he be a number one where he's scoring 27, 28 a game at this age and carrying a roster? Nah, especially not with knee tendonitis in both knees. In both knees, he got tendonitis, dog. So, yes, does he need a stronger number two or somebody? Or I hate doing these things where it's like a number two or a number three, but maybe somebody to take some things off his plate. Like I always think we were watching Giannis last night, and I'm not saying Giannis is that player, but somebody who could get you easy buckets into whether it's the pick and roll game or getting to the rim. And that's where Kuminga comes into play. And that's why I think Kuminga needs to be empowered a little bit here, because when you see that pick and roll between Steph and JK, it is effective, Shasky. That pick and roll between JK and Steph, with JK diving down to the rim, JK finishes or at least gets fouled. I want to see that more. And that's what I'm looking for, to help Steph to alleviate some of the burden off his shoulders. And that's why you bring in Schroeder to do some of those things.
I look back at this and I say, like, okay, that year they won it all. Wiggins was Superman. I mean, he was the second best player on the team, and it was clear, right? It was very clear.
No.
I think he...
You remember Wiggins went through a drought.
No, I'm talking about in the playoff run.
He turned Superman, okay? No doubt.
So, like, I'm watching this team this year, and Wiggins has been really good. But I don't think the Wiggins I'm seeing right now is good enough as your number two. Because, like, I feel like Draymond is their second best player right now this year, just in the totality. Taking two-way the total player of the year. Yep. And I don't think that's good enough. I think Dre and Wiggins need to be your third, fourth. Like, if they're versions of them right now, they need to be your third, fourth best players for you to be able to win one.
Listen, Steph Curry, can he be your number one? Well, he draws the attention like a number one, right? Now the league has evolved. Luka's better than he was 2 years ago.
No doubt.
Jokic is better. Jokic is better.
Yes.
SGA's better.
Yes.
Devin Booker's better.
Yes.
Who am I missing? You got Wimby down in San Antonio. The Clippers have given him issues. So the league is better. So it's tough to judge here. All right, let's bring in our main man. And I don't know if you got hit with bricks that night in Phoenix when Draymond Green was down there, Eddie. Because I told you he's hitting the three this year, Eddie Johnson, as we bring him in on the River Islands guest line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? Longtime Suns color commentator, NBA veteran, played for a long, long time, one of the best scorers in the league, over 20,000 career points. Eddie Johnson, also serious NBA radio with our boy Justin Termini. Eddie, good morning to you. Happy holidays. It's been kind of a theme of the show. So before we get into basketball, I'm going to ask you some oddball questions here. Number one, is there a drone problem in Phoenix? Because apparently there's a drone problem in New Jersey.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people, like, you know what it is? I think some people are wishing they're UFOs, okay? So I don't know if it's a drone problem, more so than people are hoping that it's UFOs, okay? And I don't get it. I mean, you go into any electronic shop, you're seeing these drones. You know that the future has drones written all over it. And so I'm a little bit shocked that people are worried. I know people love their privacy and all of that. And I haven't paid too much attention to it. I finally read one article last night, but, you know, it was kind of funny, man. We got people that's really weirded out about things flying around. I don't understand that.
I'm with you, Eddie. Shasky brought it to my attention to start the show. I'm like, what? He's like, dude, are you living under a rock? I'm like, dude, I'm watching hoops, man. I don't know what's going on out there. And number two, since it seems to be a theme, and I don't know what your holiday spread looks like. You know, I got my mom making gumbo for Christmas. Have you ever tried raccoon, Eddie? Have you ever tried raccoon?
I got a raccoon coat.
That's a flex,
wait a minute,
man.
Wait a minute. You
oh,
have a
I love
coat
that.
Made of raccoon?
I'm just kidding.
No, you're not kidding.
Daniel Boone.
You got that raccoon fur underneath? Come on, Eddie. You must have a guy, man. You got that raccoon fur?
Listen, I'm going to tell you all one thing. Like, it's so funny because I was in Oakland one particular year when you all were always getting to the finals. And we were walking back to our hotel.
and we happened to walk past this garbage can, like a collection of garbage cans or whatever, and we had stopped to talk. And then I looked up, and this raccoon was like staring at my boss, Sean Butler, SiriusXM. And out of nowhere, was another one just sitting there, just looking at him. And it looked like they were getting ready to jump. And I said, Sean, don't move. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, man, don't move. And it was two big, giant raccoons. I didn't know that you all had all these raccoons
out there. Oh, yeah, they're vicious.
So basically, what you're telling me is that you're out there in the alleys and whatnot hunting down raccoons and then cooking them.
No one is doing that in San Francisco.
Not in the Bay Area.
I will let you know that right now.
Xavier Leggett of the Carolina Panthers and Jerry Jones are admitting that, yeah, we love raccoon. We had it for Thanksgiving, yeah. Which is kind
of
wild.
I've eaten a lot of raccoon.
That's what he said. But let me ask you an NBA question. Steve Kerr still believes that Steph Curry can be the number one on a championship team. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I can. And it's based on how devastating he could be. And that's why he would still be a number one. Now, would it be a number one, but not quite at a number one? Like, he'll be better than his number two. He'd be more devastating. Like, you could bring an all-star there. Say, for instance, for example, say Jimmy Butler went there. Mm-hmm. Okay? Steph would still be number one. Like, even though people might say Jimmy Butler can do more, right? So that's the way I look at it. He's still going to, because he's devastating. Like, what he does can turn the game. And, you know, no, he's not going to get 10 rebounds. He's not going to get 10 assists. He's not going to rack up triple doubles. But what he will do, he will force your defense to have to deal with him the entire time he's on the floor. And that's the number one. Think about it, right? Yeah. Think about it. When you go into a game and you're game planning against somebody, you're basically game planning, like, historically, Magic, okay? Even though Magic wasn't the best scorer on the Lakers, but you're game planning for Magic, right?
Yep.
You're game planning for, all the great players, the team, Spurs, MJ, all of them. Steph would still be that, but, you know, here's a good stat, and Michael Jordan fans don't like when I say this, but Scottie Pippen statistically, in all of their six finals, led in every category except scoring.
Wow.
Okay.
Yep.
So, although Michael was the number one, Scottie led in all categories. He had more rebounds than MJ, more assists, more steals, all of it in their six championships. So that's what I would say. Yeah, Steph, of course, can still be a number one.
No doubt. We're going to get to the ratings with you, Eddie Johnson, the new All-Star Game format. Get your thoughts on that. But first, I want to ask you about the Dennis Schroeder edition. It's a low-risk, high-reward move for the Golden State Warriors, moving D'Anthony Melton and a few second-round picks. As we know, Melton's out for the season with the ACL in his left knee. Schroeder comes over. He's going to be a free agent after the season. How do you like to fit with the Golden State Warriors here?
Man, you all cold, man. Y'all cold. Y'all hardcore out there in the Bay Area, man. Like, you go, like, D'Anthony Melton at home in crutches, man. He laying up with his leg on top of a bed somewhere. Hey, y'all just trade the guy. And that D'Anthony Melton's like, I can't play. How could they trade me? I can't even play.
Hey, Eddie, at least it's New York City. At least he's going to New York City.
But you all are cold, man. That's cold, man. That's all, maybe that's how y'all won titles, man. Y'all hardcore out there. But, no, I like Dennis Schroeder. I just question if he's going to be that guy that you all have seen over the last 2 years in other teams. Like, for instance, he can't, in Brooklyn, he handled the ball a lot. He's not going to handle the ball a lot in Golden State. So that's the other negative, right? Because the offense is predicated more on what? Movement, passing the ball quickly and all of that. But Dennis Schroeder is a guy that really, he creates. With the ball in his hands. Like, he creates the shots, he creates the finding people. It's not this, hockey assist type movement stuff. I don't know, maybe he can do it, but the Dennis Schroeder that I know that has upped his game, international play and with Brooklyn, that guy has the ball in his hands. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Where do you think that the Warriors go from here? You know, you're looking at their roster. They're connected with a lot of different teams in terms of rumors and trades and players. What do you think the next domino is?
Well, I think the biggest problem is they've always been able to pencil somebody in, right? Whether he was a big part of the team or a small part. You know, years ago, David West, it's just different guys that you've been able to put in place that enhance the full package of the team. And obviously, you went young. And, you know, a lot of times when you decide to go young, you know, in high draft picks, I mean, Kuminga and Moody were, you know, first-round picks, you wonder if they're going to be able to elevate their game, grow quickly in time, so Steph can have another opportunity to go deep. He and Draymond can go deep into the playoffs. And, you know, I don't know what the light is on Kuminga. I like him. I know a lot of teams out there would love to have him. I know Golden State's afraid to move him because they feel like he could take off. But I think that's the problem, right, that Kuminga hasn't elevated himself to that level to where they can say, man, this dude could be he's a number two. Because that's what's open, right? They don't really have a number two.
Yep.
You know, I know you all think that with Draymond shooting 39% from three, but
Hey, Eddie, that brick didn't hit you in Phoenix, Eddie. That was great television, but that brick didn't hit you down there in Phoenix.
Trust me. That 39 by All-Star break, it'll be down to 32. No worries.
Oh, Eddie.
So you're going to go on the Draymond Green podcast next week or what?
Draymond Green show?
Draymond's a tremendous basketball player. I swear I would have loved to play with him, even though he drives you crazy when he's not on your team. And the only thing I've ever questioned with him is, you know, the quick punch on people. You know, that part when the other guys really won't retaliate because they're afraid to lose $100,000 and Draymond's not. But other than that, as a basketball player, as a connector, he's tremendous. And so, yeah, but I'll applaud his rebounding. I'll applaud his defense. I'll applaud his passing. But you will never – ever get me to applaud his ability to make threes, okay? Not by
Eddie Johnson here on the Rim Rollins guest line. We love Eddie, SiriusXM, NBA radio with Justin Turbidy, also the Suns color commentator, played a long time in this league, man. Long, long time. Very good basketball player. Check out his numbers and his highlight tapes. Real quick, before we get, because you kind of touched on Kuminga there, and that was my next question, but the All-Star game format and the NBA ratings. Let's start with the ratings. What do you think has contributed to the dip in ratings? Now, locally, the Warriors do great. Locally, they do amazing. Best ratings, I believe, in the NBA when it comes to local television or the regional networks. But overall, you know, ESPN, TNT, the ratings have just dipped tremendously. What do you think has been the biggest problem or what has been the biggest contributor to those ratings dipping in the NBA?
It's a combination of things. And I think, you know, look, the league got it great. They got it right 40 years ago when they decided to make players the face of the league, right? When they tagged Magic and Bird, it started a revolution of, okay, who's the next face, right? And so it went from Magic and Bird, right, to MJ. And not to disrespect all the other players that were playing. I'm just talking about face of the league. It went to MJ, right? And then it went sort of like to a combination of Kobe and Shaq. And then it went to obviously LeBron, Duncan, and Kevin Durant, and then Steph Curry. Like, so we've had faces of the league. The problem is LeBron has lasted so long at the face. The movement to the next heir was like intersected, right? So did Steph get enough attention as the face? Did KD get enough attention? And then in the middle of all of this, the game has changed with the three-point shooting. Now, a lot of the guys that I just showed you, they can be duplicated. Magic has been duplicated somewhat. Jokic, Luka, they can pass like Magic, right? And LeBron. Like, you know, you got big guys out there. We haven't seen anybody like LeBron ever with his physicality. But guess what? If Zion can ever stay healthy, we'll see another LeBron in that situation. Steph might be the only person of this run that's not duplicated. But what did they tag onto Steph? They tagged analytics onto him. And because of that, you know, I haven't seen another Steph Curry. Trae Young tried to be Steph Curry, but he's not. And what's happened with analytics is we got 9 teams shooting over 40 threes a game. Boston is shooting 51, okay? And so a fan can turn on a game, and they're watching this. And you've seen it. They'll watch go up and down 8 times and shoot threes every time and brick it. Like, that's not pretty basketball, man. And I think that's part of my issue is analytics is good for the sport, but I think it's too much. It's like eating Christmas dinner coming up, right? I mean, the first 3-4 bites, that's the bites that taste good. But if you keep eating it, keep eating it, keep eating it just because it looks good, what's going to happen? You're going to get full. You're not going to like it, right? So that's the way I look at it. We're just getting too much of a heavy dose of threes. And that is all we do now. And everybody has copied that because of Steph. But we're not going to see, I believe, another Steph Curry. I don't. We've seen another MJ. We saw it in Kobe. We saw Vince Carter. We saw T-Mac. We saw guys that could play like him. And this is the final part. The one guy now that's come along that we say, man, he looks like MJ and Kobe, right? And Anthony Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
What has analytics done to him?
He's shooting 10 threes a game, Eddie.
He's taking 10 a game, and then he has the audacity to say he doesn't like the dunk. And he's in his fifth year. So that's the problem, man. It's like, you know, they got to understand that the beauty of the game grabs eyes. And if you just, you know, going to just chuck up threes and, you know, and if it's not going, yeah, when you're knocking them down, it looks really beautiful and all of that. But a lot of times, they're just not knocking them down. You're only making, you know, 40% of them, 30-something percent of them. I'm excuse me, 30-something percent of them. So you're making three and you're missing seven. Okay, and so, you know, you combine that with both teams on each end. It just takes away the beauty of the game, running off screens and setting down screens, setting back picks, running plays, moving the ball from strong to weak. It's like, that's basketball, man. And I'm not an old man on my lawn. I understand that threes are important, but it's not shouldn't be the one thing that takes over our game. Back to the basket play. Where are they? Like, we will never see another Kareem. And it's not because they're not capable. It's just because they won't let them. So another Kareem or Akeem, you won't see them. And to me, that's what analytics has done. They don't like me. I like them. I just don't care for their package at the high level that they do.
What do you make of the All-Star Game tweaks? It feels like we're trying to fix something that, to me, is so tiny. It's like a drop of water in a bucket of oceans out there. Trying to fix the All-Star game is ridiculous. Like, I'm looking at the schedule and the formats and all these things. Like, I think it's silly. What do you think of the All-Star game?
Well, again, whatever Adam Silver's trying to do, it's not his fault. Like, the players have made him do things like this because they don't play in the All-Star game. It's a joke. It truly is. Like, what happened to competitive spirit, man? No, I don't want to turn on a game, an All-Star game, and just see guys run up and down and dunk the ball with no defense. But the beauty of the dunk is when you dunk on somebody. Like, just dunking on a rim. I can go grab some guys off the street that can jump, and they can go dunk. Okay, but what I love about a dunk is when you posterize somebody. Well, ain't no posters in the All-Star game. They get out of the way. They don't even go at each other. It's that part, man, that Adam Silver had to change. And he was very disturbed last year when he thought that they would play hard and answer what he was, you know, asking them to do, and they didn't. And so they can't be mad at him. You know, they just can't, man. He's trying to do something to make it work because what's going to happen if it doesn't work, they're going to get rid of the game. saying they're going to do other stuff.
Which would be criminal. That'd be criminal. Eddie, I know you're sound like you're at the airport or whatnot, so I want to get you out of here. But real quickly, what do you think about maybe switching up the conferences? Or I have this theory that maybe you should go to a Premier League format like they do in European soccer, where you get rid of the East and West, you do one table, you get 3 points for a win, you get a point for a tie if you tie at the end of overtime, the first overtime or whatnot. Just something to spice up the regular season and maybe spike the ratings, because we could try. They travel, and I know traveling can be difficult at times in the NBA. I'm not going to say that, even though you guys are flying business or whatnot. But
but the travel is really difficult for me. I drive my car right to the plane. I park it right there. I get out. They take my luggage. I walk on. I got a 5-star meal. I'm in a first class seat. Oh, it's just so freaking difficult.
So daunting, Eddie. So such a grueling grind. Do you think they're going to do away with conferences, East and West, and just maybe do just one table at some point, or one conference?
Well, if they did that, as long as everybody got the same amount of games against the same amount of teams, right? So if it's, you know, if one team has got a weaker schedule than the other one, then that's not fair, right?
Right.
So that's why the East West, you can balance it out a little bit. You only play them one each during the course of the season. And, you know, the travel is not as bad as you say. And then, you know, it's equality. I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
So if they bought them all together, I just don't know, with arena rentals and how they do the schedule, how that could play out. But, you know, anything to spice it up. I mean, I love what Adam Silver has done. I love his mindset and how he's unafraid to try things. And I'm just waiting on, obviously, Seattle to get their team back. And I'm just waiting on that. So when that happens, I'm good.
All right, Eddie. Happy holidays to you, brother. We'll see you when you come to the Bay Area January. Or actually, you're coming to the Bay next week, Saturday night, December 28th.
Next week, I'll get there early so I can go out there and watch Draymond warm up with three.
Hey, we'll get you back on TV, too, and I'll make sure he splash a couple just for you.
Yeah. All right. Will do.
All right, Eddie. Happy holidays, man. Safe travels. Eddie, man, he's always good to us, man. He's fun. Isn't he fun? There's a lot there, too. I want to back from Eddie.
Well, you know, I know we're gonna do the injury report here in a second. How many college basketball players are there in Division I? Do you know? I know exactly how many.
I don't.
Okay, I saw this stat. I'm stealing this from the internet. Yep. It flashed across my timeline. There are 5,600 Division I college basketball players.
Okay.
How many are shooting 35% or better from three-point line?
Oh, if I had to guess, I say less than 60.
132.
Okay.
Okay, so that's a good note.
Right.
Good. Less
than 35%.
Than half of 1%. 0.02%
yep.
percent of college basketball players at the Division I level are shooting 35% or higher. Now, let's go to the NBA. The NBA, there are about 500, give or take, NBA players.
450 to 500, yep.
Okay. How many of those guys take half their shots from three?
Oh, I'd say more than half the league.
No, it's over 100. Over 100.
How many?
Because you have a lot of guys that don't take any shots.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Okay.
So you have over 100 guys who take just half their shots come from three. 100 guys of the 500 that are in the NBA. And again, think of it like guys like Quentin Post has not played an NBA game.
Yeah.
He's an NBA player.
Right.
Think of how the numbers have been distorted. All right, they've been distorted. 100 guys in the league right now, 100 guys take half or more of their three-point attempts from the corner. We have a problem.
I love
the game of basketball. I see it at the youth level.
Yep.
The amount of horrific shots from three when we can't even make a layup drives me beyond insane.
Well, Buki had a great line. Lindy Waters the third, he made the three. It was on a fast break in the fourth. He pulled up from the top of the key with J.K. cutting to the basket on the left side of him. And Buki said, wow, the audacity to take a shot like that. Or say, he didn't say that, but he was just basically said the guts to take that shot. Now he made it. But for some reason, that's become a good shot in the league. And to Eddie's point about the analytics, we do have a three-point. Anthony Edwards, I think of him like, boy, he could be a carbon copy of Michael Jordan. Not saying he could be Michael Jordan, but I believe his back-to-the-basket game, his mid-range game, could be really good. But he's attempting 10 threes a game. Boston, in a way, has copied the Houston Rockets model with James Harden and said, you know what, we're going to take 51 threes and play five out. And if it's not a mid-range, or I mean, if it's not a three, then we'll try to get to the layup line. You know what I'm saying? Or we'll try to get to the free throw line. We have to do something. And Adam Silver's touched on it. He's trying to listen to data and get these points. But I do miss the Hakeem Olajuwon. I do miss the Patrick Ewing's and the David Robinson's. And everybody who thinks they're a three-point shooter who can just go in and jack threes up and down the floor, it's not a pretty product.
No. And think about this. Like, you and I are the same age, so maybe we're just different. When I think of the greatest, like, close my eyes, the greatest plays in the NBA, really only a couple of them are jump shots. Like Michael Jordan's crossover on Byron Russell because of the
right.
of the setting. But like Game if six. I think of Jordan's career, the dribble back dunk on
Patrick Ewing, baseline.
Sicker.
Baseline.
Okay.
I think about John Starks dunking all over them, baseline at the Madison Square Garden.
Warrior fans,
right.
Baron Davis's dunk.
Baron Davis's
okay?
dunk over right. AK-47.
Sean Kemp dunking on Chris Gatling and yeah. Alton Lister.
Yep.
Right? Like, so to me, the Kobe alley-oop to Shaq.
Kevin
like,
Johnson dunking over Hakeem Olajuwon baseline in a Western Conference playoff game.
Now close your eyes and think about the last 8 years.
Yeah.
10 years of the NBA.
It's been threes.
It's really the LeBron dunk with Wade going like this.
Yeah.
And that was over a decade ago. Over a decade ago. I can't, and this is why I love Giannis, as I watched Giannis last night.
Right.
You know, and I know he's tried to stretch the game out a little in terms of his,
right.
his floor game, but like his freaky dunks, we are losing
right.
the element that we all fell in love with,
well,
the athleticism.
Well, it's funny because Eddie brought up Zion Williamson, and we've had a conversation about Zion, and he's been a big disappointment because he can't stay healthy. But I think a lot of us, and you, because you're like, yo, you're mesmerized. And I was like, I used to be mesmerized by Zion, but he can't stay on the court. So what? John Morant is a good one on the Comcast Business Text Line.
He doesn't want to dunk anymore.
But he has some nasty dunks. He needs to dunk.
No, but he said,
right.
I don't want to dunk
right,
anymore because I could get hurt.
But he had a crazy dunk last week. Ducking all it in. So we'll continue this conversation. Anthony and Benicia, we'll get you on the other side here. Injury report time.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Elbow jumpers from bigs, dunks on people. You're right. We need more of that. We need the mid-range game. That's why I appreciate Wiggins at times with the elbow jumper. I appreciate Kuminga with the 10-foot little fadeaway in the post. He has that to his arsenal. I've missed that, right? When Kuminga hits that 10 to 12-foot jumper, I'm like, yes!
What about the drop step left-handed little hook shot
in
the lane? And I know it's like, oh, well, that's only a 55% shot. Yeah, but there's a beauty of sagging the defense in to be able to earn the right to kick it out to a wide-open shooter.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. We'll get more to that because I want to dive into the All-Star game because the NBA All-Star game used to be one of my favorites. Baseball, by far and away, is the best All-Star game. I think they've always kind of held that mantle. But the NBA All-Star game wasn't far behind. Now it's becoming like the NFL Pro Bowl. We'll get to that on the other side. Moses Moody still dealing with a knee injury that is expected to keep him out of tomorrow's game against the Memphis Grizzlies. Specifically, he is dealing with left knee patellar tendinopathy, also known as jumper's knee, and is a common soft tissue injury that can affect a tendon below the kneecap. Rest is the most effective treatment for Moody, and it remains to be seen when he will be cleared to return to action. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What is coming up in the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Anthony, we're going to get you on Pods and Steph in the addition to the Schroeder. We'll play some sound and we'll dive into this new All-Star game format. I'll ask the audience, 888-957-9570, you in or out on the All-Star game format that is happening this season? We'll explain and give you the details of that coming up on the other side here on The Roast.